It's a Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Governor Corbett has announced his proposed budget, which he says closes a $1.2 billion deficit and increases spending by $925 million without raising taxes. A significant chunk of the money would be spent on education, an area the governor's critics say has gone grossly underfunded on his watch. They also say this new budget unveiled yesterday is built on gimmicks to aid Mr. Corbett's reelection bid. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Brad Bumstead, Pittsburgh Tribune Review Capitol correspondent. Brad Bumstead, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon, Paul, and thank you for having me on.
Well, we appreciate your being here. It's been a busy time at the Capitol, and let's start by doing the math here. How can the governor close a billion-dollar deficit, increase spending by nearly a billion more, and not raise taxes?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, as they used to say. His budget director says it's by anticipating 4% revenue growth and with a number of one-time fixes and continuing fixes. But, you know, some of those things that he's counting on require approval outside his control. One is legislative approval of the pension reforms that he wants to do. Another is federal government approval of the Medicaid reforms he wants to do. He needs those, and he needs revenue to be as high as he predicts it will be to have the kind of money that he projects.
So, you know, when people ask, well, where's the money coming from to pay for this, it sounds like this plan is on some potentially shaky financial ground. And if that is the case, and if people are eyeballing this, what are the critics saying? Are they calling him out on it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're saying this is strung together with Band-Aids, and they said exactly what you just paraphrased there, and that it's shaky, and even if it does close the gap somehow, it leaves us in a bad position for the future. Some of the Republicans in the legislature were circumspect. They were saying, "Look, you know, let's look at this. Let's go through the budget hearings. Let's examine the revenue growth." Jake Corman, the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee and a Republican from Center County, did say that there's risk involved in all of this, but he said, you know, some of that's on us, meaning the legislature, to do things like getting pension reform done so this hole is closed. So anyway, you know, it's attacked as a campaign reelection budget, and in a way it can't be anything but that. Corbett is running for reelection, and this is his budget. But whether that means there are faulty numbers is a different question.
Well, you have Senate Majority Leader Dominic Pileggi, as you might expect, calling it the best budget speech of Corbett's tenure. But the Democrats, as you pointed out, are accusing the governor of proposing gimmicks, not solutions, and making this all about a bid for reelection, promising people everything. So, you know, which of the critics or which of the people on the different sides of this have the most sway?
Well, the Republicans have the most sway. They control the House, and they control the Senate, and the governor is a Republican who signs a final budget. So they may need Democratic votes for some of these things. That's a different issue. But in answer to your question, who has the most sway? Clearly, the Republicans, you know, run the hearings. They set the agenda. The majority leader, like Pileggi and Mike Terzai in the House, decide what's going to be voted on. So, yes, they're in control, and that is an edge that Corbett has with this, even though all Republicans might not be enthralled with his budget.
Can Governor Corbett get this budget or many of the priority items for him in this budget passed without Democratic support? For example, you have the Senate minority leader, Jay Costa of Forest Hill, saying the governor is relying too much on one-time revenue sources. Senator Matt Smith of Mount Lebanon used the phrase, "you'd like to have a dollar for every time you hear it," in which he criticized the budget by saying, altogether now, kick the can down the road and make it more difficult next year. So if Democrats like these fellows are not on board, then where can the compromises be made?
Well, you know, the compromises are typically made with the Republicans in terms of what it is that they'll accept, you know, to vote for, in which case, theoretically, they don't need any Democratic votes. They clearly don't need them in the House, where they have a much larger majority. It's only three-vote edge in the Senate, and it'd be nice to get some. On the other hand, even if you took this budget exactly like it is, and it never is exactly like that by the time it gets to June the 30th, but if you did take it exactly as it is and you brought it up right now for a vote, despite what they're saying, it would be hard for some of these Democrats to vote against it because it does give them what they've been asking for, which is a sizable increase in education funding. And as much as they may say that's political, are they going to vote against $300 million more for public schools? Some may, but some may not. It might divide them. But in any case, this has a long way to go. It's only a proposal. It could be reshaped. That's happened over the past couple years, and June the 30th is when this all must come together by state law.
We are talking with Pittsburgh Tribune Review Capitol correspondent Brad Bumstead. And Brad, you know, based on what you've observed over the years, and let's face it, many people in Pennsylvania, if not throughout the United States, have become cynical about the motivations of politicians. This is an election year. Is there any other way to explain why all of a sudden the governor's had this epiphany and said, you know, we need to really step up the funding for education, where in the past he said the money just isn't there to do that. He's not anti-education as some have painted necessarily, but he has faced down the figures and said we simply don't have the money. Now all of a sudden he's saying we have the money. So is it revenue sources that make sense, or is it the governor wanting to put something out there to say, hey, I'm not the anti-education guy?
Well, let me start with one of the best columnists up here is John Baer of the Philadelphia Daily News, and his column about Corbett's budget today starts off by saying, you know, Corbett provides these huge increases for public education at a time when, in his reelection campaign, he's being criticized for, you know, cutting education funding. He provides increases for rape crisis center and domestic violence programs when he's weak with women voters, you know, and he suggests that, of course, that's political. What his budget director, Charles Zogby, said at a news conference yesterday is that this year is a pivot point for Corbett, and that after three tough years of fiscal discipline, he is now able to do what he wants to do and provide these kind of increases. Who's right? It depends on your opinion.
All right. What about this matter of pension reform? People are looking at this and saying that the governor has to deal with what is perceived as a growing pension fund crisis. Did he say enough to allay people's fears about that yesterday?
I don't know whether he allayed people's fears. That's require a subjective answer. But I do know that he didn't lay out a proposal in his budget. If you remember last year, he had a very detailed proposal of how he wanted the legislature to approach this. Charles Zogby, the budget director, told me in an interview the day before the budget was released that the governor is pretty much, you know, he's going to leave that up to the legislature. He'll provide guidance. He'll talk to them about what he'll sign. But, you know, sometimes it is better for a governor, even with a legislature of his own party, instead of dictating, look, here's the way I want this done, to say, look, guys, we got to do this. You come up with a plan. You might have noticed near the end of his budget speech, threw in some remarks about still wanting to see liquor privatization. And he said it's this year's last call for the Pennsylvania state stores. But, you know, he didn't put that near the top of his speech, and he didn't, you know, specifically call for a plan again. But, you know, Republicans say there are still negotiations going on between the House and Senate leaders and the governor's office, trying to come up with something. You know, it may not be anything near what Mike Turzai, the House Majority Leader, or Corbett want, you know, in terms of complete privatization of the wholesale and retail system, but we may see more private sales. If they agree on anything, it would be something like that, I believe.
But there certainly is, when it comes to the matter of pension reform, there certainly is a danger that the things that he's trying to fund may not be able to be funded if they don't come up with a way to reform the pension system. Is that a correct way of looking at it?
Well, yeah. I mean, Jake Corman, the appropriations chairman, said it's the cornerstone of everything. Yes, they need to do that. If they didn't do that, I think the governor's office would tell you that, yeah, then they're short $170 million, at least for the state employees, $170 million for the overall budget that couldn't be spent on certain program increases that not only Corbett would like to do, but legislators would love to be able to give a plus 3% increase to school districts and, you know, do a $240 million block grant for public education. You know, that's one thing that's extremely popular among Democrats, Republicans in the House and Senate, because it enables them to take something home, you know, that's tangible. Look, you know, we got this money for you for these districts, and it's hard to be against that sort of thing. So would you be able to be able to do all of it then if you didn't get it, or if you don't get Medicaid reform approved? Well, no, you wouldn't be able to do all of it. But, you know, what's the state's economic picture going to be by June 30th? Tax revenues, you know, where will they be at? That determines a lot of this as well.
We've been talking by phone from Harrisburg with Brad Bumstead, Pittsburgh Tribune Review Capitol correspondent. Brad, great thanks.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on anytime.
Coming up, we'll talk with a Pittsburgh doctor who is making house calls to the homeless. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.